everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I'm Slothy. And with us today, we've got a very special guest. And we got MTG Gaming Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Bob, it's always a pleasure having you on. I remember it was just like yesterday having you on, bud.
Mm-hmm. It's been a minute.
But it feels like yesterday to me.
Yeah. I love being here. I love being out in the community. Love talking Magic.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start off with Card of the Week. Slothy, you have Card of the Week.
Yes, I do. So Card of the Week this week is Damn. It is a sorcery that costs 2 black, and you can destroy target creature, and a creature destroyed this way cannot be regenerated. But this card also has Overload for 2 and 2 white. So you can cast it for 4 mana, with 2 of it being white instead of just the 2 black. And if you do, you can change its text by replacing all instances where it says target with each. So you'll destroy each creature, and a creature destroyed this way can't be regenerated. So what do we think about this card?
Well, I was about ready to tell you this is a PG-13 show, man.
I'm sorry.
No, it's the name of the card. It's almost like the card Damnation, you know, a little bit. And if this is a way for me to get my hands on a copy of that, hey, right? I mean, kind of. It's just It's white too, right?
What do you
think? I'll be honest. I'm really happy that I can at least pronounce the name of this card. I'm not going to go with the Tasmophasmical card. I don't even want to try to pronounce that one. But I like it. I actually like cards that have alternate modes. It's a bit strange to go with the 2 white pips in the overload cost, but it's cheap at 2, being able to target something. And I don't think it's overpowered because it's, you know, sorcery. That's great. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's an all-around very, very solid card in a lot of different formats, actually.
It gets me thinking, is there any card out there that has an overload cost that's in a different color?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I do not know.
As a commander player, the only overload card that I really care about is Cyclonic Rift, and that's just blue.
I mean, I'm just thinking, but you know, it's almost like the sagas. I was happy to get the multiple sagas, you know, and I know it's a little bit off topic, but still, and then to get the land saga, which, by the way, I was right. That's causing a lot of shenanigans.
Sure is.
It's causing a lot of shenanigans, and I was right. There's a bunch of people that were like, nah, man, it's just too weak. And I'm like, guys, it's land.
You know? And for anybody who's wondering, who doesn't know the card offhand, that is called Urza's Saga.
Yeah, Urza's Saga. Did I not? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this is a good card. Damn good card.
it is. Solid card. I don't have any real negatives, you know, other than you can't play it in a mono white or mono black commander deck. So
you could. Wait a minute. You can't. I mean, you
no.
You can slip it in there, right? It's in the color.
No.
Right? Or
no. It. You'd have to have a black white commander at least.
I got you. Okay.
So I mean, again, it's a very solid card all the way around.
Yeah, definitely a couple decks. I'm going to throw this one in.
And that move and that card of the week is brought to you by you. That's right. You guys vote for card of the week. If you're not hip to the situation, just go over to our Facebook group, the Cryptic Commander Facebook group, we just changed the name of it, didn't we? Yeah.
We did, yes.
We changed the name of it. Hold on. I got to pull that up because I don't want my foot in my mouth.
I believe it is.
The Cryptic Commander Podcast, shift semicolon, because it's the, what is that called? Is it colon? The two dots? I think it's called colon.
Yeah.
Two dots is a colon.
Okay, so it's the Cryptic Commander Podcast colon space MTG CCA finalist exclamation point. Yep. That got me
nice.
I got excited there. All right. I mean, that is, I can't believe I changed the name of it, but I saw a tweet somewhere where somebody changed the name of his Twitter account name to MTG CCA finalist. And I'm like, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to change the group to that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's advertisement within the name.
Yeah, that's right. It's, you know what? That's right. And when I Google MTG CCA, just the number or the letters by themselves, it'll come up like the third or fourth down, the Cryptic Commander, because one of our episodes was bringing up that in one of the subjects.
Yep.
So it's one of the very nice things that are out there that when you Google that, it comes up. But, you know, we're happy to be a part of the community. Right, Slothy?
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome.
And if Peddler was here, he'd say the same thing because he was nominated also in his stuff too, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad to be in touch with a lot of you guys that deserve, you know, the recognition that you got. Jake and Joel are magic. You guys, Peddler, you know, I'm very happy to be involved with you guys and be connected to you because you all do a very good job in your segments.
We appreciate the kind words, man. I mean, and on top of it, there's a lot of the Magic the Gathering content creators that we work with that were nominated that, you know, some people don't know or whatever. And it's like this. When we first started, this is over a year ago now, we thought that working together instead of working against each other is the better idea of the two. You know, do your pros and cons. And Magic the Gathering is better with a communal experience. And we're just glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely better to be going out and working with a whole bunch of other people instead of saying, like, no, we're better than you. We're just going to, like, talk down about you. And it's just so nice to have, like, a community that is very, very caring and connected.
Well, and, you know, Magic, at its core, in all reality, is a social game, you know. Mm-hmm. So why would that be any different for us as content creators to be social about the game?
Exactly.
Content creating. Some of my best attendance is when I'm actually on playing the game and we're just shooting the breeze back and forth, playing live. And you know, the audience really seems to respond to that, hearing the banter back and forth. And it's a far more relaxed sort of social atmosphere. It's not so constructed.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have, from my perspective, to have that social networking with all the different content creators.
Mm-hmm.
You said it right there. You know, you said it right there. When I first started this podcast, I remember that there was people out there in real life telling me, hey, you know, I know you from the podcast, and I met them on the street and they're like, we like listening to you because you're real. You're not, you know, you're not masking it. You're not putting on a charade to grab attention. It might be my voice that's the attention grabber. I don't know, but I do know that to be real and let them know that I'm not an expert, but I'll have the experts come on the show, you know? And the fact that Peddler is a content creator and he puts time into this, and Slothy is a content creator and he puts time into this, and we reach out to other content creators just like Russ. There's people who own Facebook groups like Josh Skipper.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people too that were in the beginning working together as a community. And just like what you said, when I go sit down at a local game store, when I sit down and I play the game, that's fine. That's fun. That's what I'm there to do. When I go outside to like vape, because I used to smoke cigarettes,
yeah,
outside to vape, and we're all standing out there, someone's smoking cigarettes, I'm vaping, and maybe somebody else will start vaping or something. But regardless, we're out there talking metagame too. And that's half the excitement to me at least. And that's more on the social end. And I wanted to bring that experience to the podcast. When I listen to other podcasts that are out there, before the Cryptic Commander became in existence, I wasn't getting that feeling of, I want to taste the card, smell the card, feel the card. You know, here I am at a 9-to-5 job listening to podcasts because my job became that monotonous. And I wasn't getting that food. It wasn't feeding me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But without working against people, I figured this podcast will get further if it works with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it coming alive, and I'm really blessed that you guys see it too. I thank you very much, MTG Gaming Bob. Thank you so much.
Hey, anytime. Love. Getting on, love community, love echoing everything that you're saying. I got nothing but praise for you.
Movers and Shakers, Pact of Negation, $15.15, which is trending down. I'm going to go ahead and pick up a couple of copies of this guy. Velimachus Lorehold, $5, and trending down. I'm not sure if I'll be picking this guy up. What do you guys think?
I already got a couple of them, so I'm good without picking them up.
There you go.
I might pick some up, but I like when cards are trending down that are good cards. It's a good card.
Oh, yeah. Period.
And then we have another one here, Branching Evolution, $15.97, trending down. We do see a little action of it kind of slightly going up. We don't recommend to get one yet. I mean, what do you think, Sloffy?
I think it went up because it works very well with the Adrix and Nev pre-constructed commander deck. Mm-hmm. But now that that luster is kind of faded a little bit, it's going back down.
Yeah, I think there's a little small uptick with it, but I think what we're trying to hint towards is don't pick one up right now.
Yeah.
They'll wait a little bit longer on this guy. Moving down the list here, number four this week is Mirakai Rebirit. Did I say that right?
Mariki.
Mariki, yeah.
Mariki Rebirit. Never seen this car before in my life.
It reminds me a lot of Rubinia Soul Singer.
What set did this guy come out in? Scourge?
Oh, no. Wasn't that Legends?
Wow.
I could be wrong. Boy, I don't even know how to spell it to look it up.
Here.
Time Spiral?
Came out in... It was printed in Ice Age and Time Shifted.
The original Time Shifted. Old, yeah.
Yeah.
But, wow. Number three this week. Ooh, good card. Vengevine. $32.80. It's up 120%. Before I go to number two and number one this week, whoa, $32.80. Worth every penny of it.
Yeah.
Worth every penny. I think rush out and get one now before it goes up even further.
Yeah, it spiked very, very quickly, so I would jump on that as soon as possible before it keeps going up.
Yep. Okay, there we go. And number two this week, Prismatic Ending, $4.74, which is up 356%. This doesn't surprise me one bit. And number one this week for Movers and Shakers, drum roll please, Feasting Troll King, $3.98, which is up a whopping 712%.
Holy.
Yeah. Any ideas why, though?
Not that I can think of. Maybe because it synergizes with the Underworld Cookbook a little bit.
The Underworld Cookbook. Okay.
That's the one that you can tap and discard a card to create a food token.
Okay, let me look at that real quick.
Well, what about that one that creates a token of each kind of Modern Horizons 2? If you put one of these out, then you also get don't know the exact verbiage. Yeah. One of each. So would this create six when it enters play?
Well, this right here, sacrifice three food. Let me see. You can cast from your hand, create three food. Well, this, if you cast it from your hand, you get three food tokens.
Right, but there's a card that creates, if you create a food token, you also create a treasure token and a clue token as well, I think is what...
I know there's one card that makes you create three of them, but I'm not sure how it would interact with
that. So would that end up having six artifacts on the board with one cast? Is that how that would work?
Wow. Probably. Yeah, I think so, because you're going to have four food tokens, a clue, and a treasure, right? Yeah. You would definitely have six, and then you sacrifice three. This guy from your graveyard to the battlefield, you could do that again twice, wouldn't you? Oh, no. Okay, because it's three foods. Okay.
Also, magic just to hard. Say that card is called Academy Manufacturer.
Academy Manufacturer.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of why something like this would jump so high.
Yeah, there's a couple cards that are in Modern Horizons 2 that are going to cause some interesting changes.
Yeah, Underworld Cookbook. It says it right here.
So it would be nine, right? It would create nine tokens. If you create a clue, food, or treasure token, instead create one of each.
So, yes, I believe that would create... Yeah, one of nine. Each. So you'd have three of each token.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big swing.
Yeah, that's putting it a bit light.
Wow.
So sorry, I didn't mean to go off on it, but you get my wheels turning when you start asking what cards synergize, and I'm not as well-versed, but that's one I can think of that would certainly make me want to play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's going to do it for Movers and Shakers this week.
So,
go ahead.
Sorry, before we move on, I just wanted to note something real quick. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about a possible reason that Mariki Rebirit had jumped up as much as it did.
Right.
So... a lot of people in the community at least know who the Command Zone is, the YouTube channel, the podcast, and they just did an episode of Game Nights on Wednesday, and that had a very, very famous musician, Post Malone, was on there. And as a lot of us probably know by now, Post Malone is a very, very avid Magic player. He's got like tattoos, clothing, the whole nine yards. But Mariki Rebarrett was actually the deck that he played, and spoiler alert, he did end up winning with it. So yeah, this card definitely, in my mind, jumped at least a bit because of the exposure Post Malone gave to it. And like Bob is, was it Bob? No, it was John had said that he had not heard of this card before. Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a feeling that a lot of people had before this, but now because such a big channel and such a big musician had showcased it, it's going to start to go up out of interest. Like that, the Command Zone effect.
I get what you're saying. And that's okay, though. I'm cool with that. 100%.
Absolutely.
And I think those guys do a good job of what they do over there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, one other thing relating to them that I wanted to note. When we were talking about the Asmo, whatever it is.
The cold car.
There's only one person I've heard been able to pronounce that without a hitch, and that is Jimmy from the Command Zone on that episode. Yeah. Which, good on him.
I wonder how much he had to practice it.
Probably at least a couple times.
Yeah. He's probably still got a smile on his face. I mean, after, you know, doing it the whole time, probably a smile on his face. And then when he finally nailed it, a smile on his face, you know?
It's
a real hard name to mesmerize. And not mesmerize.
Memorize.
Remember and pronounce, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. I'll say this about that card, though, the Mariki. It certainly got me thinking about it when I watched the episode. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, beyond just the commands, and that is a real effect that mm-hmm. they have on card prices, for sure. I've seen them mention on other content creator shows about why cards move. But I think, you know, a lot of the newer players that haven't been around for 25 years and seen the cards, and even the older players seeing cards being used again on shows like that and how they can be effective. You know, like you said, you had never seen the card before. This was, what, 20-some-odd thousand cards in Magic. So it's good to have these cards come out on whatever show and show people that some of the old cards can still have a really solid place in Magic today. I like that.
Yeah. It's always nice to see some of the more obscure cards get the love instead of just the Thrasios and Timnas or the Crom Ludovic's Opus and things of those popularity.
Sure.
Page 3, Time Warp, banned in historic format. I don't play a lot of historic, but wow, it's a good card to get banned. Yeah. Ouch. I mean, with Will Rowan, you get two of those guys out there, it'll be just two blue and one other, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other ways of making it cheaper, too.
Yeah, the Prismatic Amulet.
There you go. I love Time Warp. It's one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, I've always loved it. I'm partial to the original art on the Tempest set. Mm-hmm. So it's a strange art if you get a chance to take a look at it. I like that one kind of the best.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I had that one. It looked like the Chinese artwork, right? Like Kamigawa or something like that?
It's like a guy holding daggers. It's got like a mirror image of himself underneath himself.
Yeah. Like a card. It reminds me of a card. You know, like a jack or a king or something.
Right. It's a very bizarre looking card.
Yeah. I end up selling one to the local game store because I needed money for dog food one time. You know? I think they gave me $20 for it. It was in heavily played condition, though. It just amazes me, though. You can go get some of these, you know, heavy damaged cards. It was like, man, I tapped that on the table so many times. I mean, it's a Time Warp. I probably slapped it on the table so many times, you know.
Oh, yeah. And back in the day, we didn't play with sleeves. It just wasn't a thing.
Yeah, there was no sleeves, right? Ultra Pro, I think, or somebody. I think it was Ultra Pro because they were in baseball cards.
Right? Deck Masters. Yeah, I think it was by Ultra Pro where they had the little silver steel on the bottom corner.
Yep. Yep. Little silver steel. You got it, man. They were always black, glossy black.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
Everybody, they were expensive, though.
They were. But you like, I like the fact that you can keep the 100 cards in there with sleeves, you know? mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. I mean, times have changed, man. You know, now when they make the Dragon Shields, it's like, that's what I always had, right? And it's like, no, that's not what I always had. You know, if you think about it, I started with Ultra Pro. Yeah, wow, man. Take a trip down memory lane with us. Good old time warp. I almost feel like playing a song for it, like the Death March or something. Go ahead.
No, I was just laughing at that the historic trip down memory lane with Time Warp.
Yeah, man.
Sort of appropriate.
Yeah. There's an announcement of a secret lair, Stranger Things. Yep. I don't know anything about Stranger Things. Maybe you guys can help me out here.
I'm a fan of the show. I like it.
It's a decent show, yeah.
So after the podcast, or after I edit it and put it out there, go watch it.
Yeah. It's definitely worth a watch if you haven't already.
If you like 80s retro feel, they definitely nail it on the 80s. Very, very much retro.
Oh, yeah. I love the 80s feel, man. When I go in my downtime, it's the regular Nintendo, you know?
Yeah.
I love the 80s feel. Yeah.
This actually isn't the first crossover that I was talking to you, John, before this, because we both really like D&D. This isn't the first crossover with Stranger Things that Wizards of the Coast has done.
Really?
As Bob, you've seen the show, you know, they're playing D&D in it, and they Wizards of the Coast made a Stranger Things themed starter set, and it's got a couple of Demogorgon miniatures.
Oh wow!
It's really, really cool. And yeah.
I mean, I assume that you're going to get into the mechanics of what they were talking about with the Gavin Verhey reveal.
Yes, I'm just pulling those up right now. They actually did release an art for this as well by Pauline Voss. If you're watching the video version of this, I will show it. But it is of 11, and it looks very, very sweet. I don't think they've revealed what card that's going to be yet, or like if it's a new card, or because it is part of the expanded universe, Universes Beyond, sorry. So I don't know if it's going to be more on the unique side, or if it's going to be something that's already been printed.
Well, what Gavin said, if I remember correctly, said these are going to be mechanically unique, but they're going to make versions of them in the regular non-Universes Beyond sets.
Oh, yes, I just got to that part. Sorry.
Sorry.
That's all good.
No, it's okay. I think it's a good thing he brings up, Slothy, because with the Walking Dead secret lair, they did the exact same thing. They said, look, it doesn't mean we're not going to take these cards and reprint them later in a different name. So we'll be able to get Negan later, just with a different name. It's not going to be Negan.
Yeah.
It'll be some other Stoneblade character or something, you know?
Yeah. So the article that I've got pulled up here, it says that the secret lair drops for Stranger Things are going to be a lot like the Godzilla cards from Ikoria, with each card having an in-universe version and then a Stranger Things version, which I really like that they're doing that because I loved the Godzilla cards, but wasn't a big fan of the Walking Dead cards, honestly. But I'm very, very excited for this one. I think it's going to be very good.
I'm all for them printing. It feels more inclusive, and I like the direction of them trying to go the inclusive rather than exclusive. The exclusivity will be with the art. Yeah, not the card, which I'm absolutely a fan of. Even I'm sure the prof would be happy with those kind of decisions.
Yeah, because if they're making it so you can only get the card in this limited drop, and there's no real timeline of when they're gonna print it in Magic Universe, then it just kind of frustrates everybody. But if they've got an in-game, like an in-universe version already, or they're going to have one alongside this drop, I think that's the right way to do it.
And I love the fact that in his in his release, Gavin, that is, yeah, that he said that they are listening to the public. I think that's a wonderful thing. I play so many games of so many different kinds, board games, video games, mm-hmm, that I absolutely love when they listen to the public, and, yeah, and that drives the direction rather than it kind of being pushed down to us.
And think about that. And let's think about that deeply for a second. When they say they listen to the public, right? Mm. They're going to listen to the few people that leave their home and go to a local game store. They're going to listen to content creators. Mm. Let's face it, we're out there, right? It's not like we're erasing our past content. We hope people watch and listen to more content, right?
Yeah.
So I think with them saying that they're listening to the general public's or the public's voice, we can step up more. Everybody can, if that makes sense, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I know a few people, not to name names, but I'm quitting Magic. You know, I'm not leaving my house. I'm not going to that game store no more. I'm not playing Magic the Gathering Arena, or maybe I might play Magic the Gathering Arena and that's it, you know? But
yeah,
I think if we step out and talk more about this, then apparently they say they're listening to the public. Mm-hmm. Let's give them more.
Yeah, and I do think it definitely shows with how they're releasing this one that they are listening, that they do care about our opinion, which I know that was another really big thing when The Walking Dead released, where a lot of people were complaining, or saying that it doesn't feel like they're listening. The majority of people that I've talked to, I know there are quite a few people that do like this one, but a lot of people didn't like The Walking Dead because of the feeling that if you didn't buy it within a certain window, you're not going to get it. And I props to Wizards for actually listening and caring and taking the time to evolve and work on making the player base, who does keep their company running, work on making them as happy as possible, as content as possible with the content that they're putting out.
And page 5, we have Magic the Gathering Arena updates. Historic Challenge, June 12th through June 15th. That's still going on. Historic Brawl Fest. It starts June 19th until June 25th. And then Turbo Draft. It starts June 26th to June 29th. Yep, that's Turbo Draft.
There's a one that I'd like to mention that's coming up soon, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
June 18th, the FNM at Home is going to be 100 card Historic Brawl. The closest to Commander on Arena as we're going to get. I'm very, very excited for that.
So what is it going to be like? Every man for himself sits down at one table and there's five people playing?
Well, it's just Brawl, so it is going to be 1v1.
Okay.
But it's going to be, instead of 60 cards, it's going to be 100 cards, but the same kind of singleton format.
So how are they calling it Brawl then? Because they can just say anything in this arena is Brawl when it's singleton?
Pretty much, yeah, because I think it would cause too much discrepancy if they're saying, hey, we got Historic Commander here, because then people are going to be like, oh, well, where's this card? Where's this card? Yada, yada, yada.
Well, remember, Historic for Magic the Gathering for Arena would just be anything that's in the database, right?
Yes, exactly.
So it's not Commander in real life. It's Commander Historic.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So, Bob, a lot of the longtime listeners might know who you are, but if somebody's kind of just tuning in, how can they find you and who are you?
I'm a variety creator for Magic the Gathering. I have my own YouTube channel, and I have a co-host. His name is Matt. We're kind of small, and we're growing slowly and steadily. I cover a wide variety of topics. I don't have any specialty. We open boxes. We talk about finance. We talk about some of our experiences in Magic. We have live streams playing Magic. Speaking of which, we just did one last night. We had a pre-release kit 3-player stream. Was a ton of fun. We've done this now for Strixhaven and Modern Horizons 2, and we're playing it on Spell Table. Mm-hmm. For those that want to tune in and watch that when we have those, and we'll probably be doing another one here within the next week or so. But I encourage others to start getting into the spell table. It's a fairly new kind of format. It's a product that Magic puts out themselves.
Yep.
WotC. So if you've never done it, just go check it out. It's free. It could be a little buggy at times, and they're still working on things. They just changed the interface from the last time I logged in. But you can play with physical cards at your home. Mm-hmm. There is some technology requirements. You got to have some sort of camera and some sort of audio. But it's a ton of fun, and I recommend you check it out. You can see some of our past streams at MTG Gaming Bob.
Yeah, and not to cut you off there, but Spell Table also has no downloads, so you can just kind of pick it up, sign in, and just jump right into a game as opposed to having to worry about updates on the any applications or download bugs or anything like that, which I really like.
So Modern Horizons 2, as I just mentioned with the Spell Table, it was a little challenging actually opening up the pre-release kits versus the Strixhaven because of the mechanics within Modern Horizons 2. It doesn't have necessarily a single set same synergy that you had with all of the cards from Strixhaven, but it was still a huge challenge and a ton of fun. I ended up drafting a Garth one eye from my pre-release nice. Kit foil, and he hit the table, but it generated so much hate from the other players that literally the turn that I put him out, he got bounced back to my hand, and then they twisted it out of my hand and hurt in a turn or two later. So I didn't even get to create a Black Lotus, which I just wanted to create one Black Lotus. But there's so many different synergies and different mechanics that they put on the cards that I'm not even all that familiar with. So I had to look up a lot of things. And there's a lot of different artwork. So it's a fantastic set. I know it's extremely expensive comparatively, but we've had a blast playing it, and I can't wait until I crack the next ones and play some more. And it's almost its own format now with those pre-release kits. It's a very, I guess you could say, specialty version of Limited, playing with pre-release kits. So if you get the opportunity to do that, especially at your local game stores, I highly recommend getting out there and playing with those. It was a ton of fun.
I second that, man. You know, when you get a pre-release kit and you build a sealed, you have a sealed pool right in front of you. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go home and you play with your friends. They got their sealed pool. You have your sealed pool. So it just takes the whole drafting experience away, you know, but you still have a bunch of random cards in front of you, and there's a lot of them, you know. I mean, you get, what, 6 packs? 10 packs?
6 packs. Yeah, 6 packs.
Yeah. That's a lot of packs, 6 packs.
It's enough to give you some decks to play with, and you can shuffle them around and play different decks when they're with that sealed pool. So I recommend giving it a shot if you haven't tried it before.
You also still get that rare that's time-stamped on it, right?
Yeah, that's the one I got, the Garth, the one eye. And it is, by the way, if you haven't seen it, I don't know if this is a spoiler, so tune out if you don't want to hear what I'm about to say. The stamp is the same stamp that they put on Strixhaven.
Ooh, nice.
Gotta say, I see a lot of people, it's a very polarizing. I'm not as big a fan. I love having the month and date on it, you know, the month and year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I miss it. I was collecting... Sure. Many of the old pre-release cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was a little deflated when I saw the change, because they only have the year.
Yeah.
There's no month on there.
Wow. Well, I mean, we're going to know too, you know, I mean, I don't think they really need the month ever, really, but it was nice to have the month.
Yeah. I do think with that, it's just kind of more of a personal taste.
Now
it's a change for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be the last segment this week, Beginner's Corner. And Beginner's Corner this week, Slothy, you thought it would be fun if we just all three talked about in order, you know, what deck got us into what format.
Yeah.
So we were just going to bring up Standard. What got you into the Standard format, Slothy? What deck?
So I started kind of right at the end of Return to Ravnica, beginning of Gatecrash area. And my one buddy had a really, really, really powerful blue, white, red standard deck that had like Snapcaster Mage, Supreme Verdict, like Thought Scour, Boros Reckoner. Just very, very, very fun to play. And pretty mean. I think.
I mean, Snapcaster page.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? What about you, Bob? What got you into the standard format? What deck?
So, you know, to be fair, I'm so old that they really didn't have like standard format when we just started playing. There was only one format. You just played.
I know.
Yeah. It was my first decks that I played against, I guess would be more fair, would be sort of the archetype Sengir Vampire versus Sarah Angel. Okay. So it was sort of black mean flyers and kill creatures mm-hmm. versus, you know, kind of like the white weenie hold out until you get Wrath of God.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, that was sort of, I guess you could say, the closest to my original standard experience was
the year where they came out with Angels versus Demons. You remember that?
Oof.
There was a product line. It was dual decks.
Yeah, dual decks. But I wasn't around that time, so I know which one you're talking about from looking at the product list. But it doesn't resonate with me as much, though. I love Angels, and I love
right.
Actually, I love Angels.
Demons? What about Demons?
I think they're powerful, but I tend to lean more towards playing the Angels. I'm just sort of the White Knight kind of guy.
If I had to pick between the two, I would be on the Demon side of things, because I saw how nasty these guys can get back with Kamigawa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What got me into the standard format was my Sanity Grinding deck. A little backstory there. So just like Bob, grew up in the 90s, you know, in the 80s. But Magic came out in 93. Didn't know there was any kind of format. Later on down the road, I think it was 97, 98, somebody told me, you want to play Type 2. And I was like, huh, yeah. Type 2? I got this deck. You know, and he goes, I thought we were playing Type 2. And I'm like, Type 2? So once I heard what Type 2 was and kind of figured it out, because there's a lot of jargon back then, you know? Type 1.5, Type 2. Do you remember? And so I go back to my friend that didn't know about the format, and I'm like, dude, Type 2. And I start explaining everything I knew to him. So we start playing Type 2 and just collecting for that and playing that format. And we were like, you know, this is a very limited format, you know? And I quickly realized it was a cash grab right then and there, man, because these cards are going to rotate out. And if you weren't in the scene of going to like the worlds and stuff like that, then you had no business really being in standard. Just go play kitchen table Magic. And a lot of my family and friends, if they even played the game, played kitchen table Magic, you know? So in 2007, I started to dibble dabble in the pro side of things and go to your F&Ms first. And then I would go out of my way and travel, you know?
Yeah.
But back then, I think it was 2007, I decided to go pro. And I said, I looked to the same buddy that I taught the Type 2 format to. And I said, I got Scarecrows. They're getting pretty good. And this was with Shadowmoor, you know? And I said, oh, I got this mill deck. And he goes, why don't you focus on the mill deck? And I was like, I don't know. I like the Scarecrows. There was a card called Chaotic Backlash. It was a red card. And the Scarecrow deck, it was colorless. I could have put other colors in there because there was the Reaper King back then.
Yeah.
Nice.
But the deck was so quick, you can just use artifact creatures, which were the Scarecrows, like Skullcrone. He was one of them. There was an infinite loot combo with Paladin Mirror and another Scarecrow at the time. So you can have infinite mana. And then what were you going to do with this? You know, well, what was it? Chaotic Backlash was one red and two other or three other. And you would use Painter Servant. And it would make the cards out of the game whatever color I wanted. And I said blue, because I could pick blue or white. I don't remember why I had to pick blue or white. But I think Chaotic Backlash had to do something with it where anything that was blue or white that does damage to target player times two or something like that. I think it was times two. Yeah. And it was such a stupid, stupid card. And we were like, how can you break this? You know, and Scarecrows was the way to break it, you know? But, so I looked at my buddy and I was like, what should I do, man? Scarecrows or mill? And he said, you should do the mill thing. Cause there was times I was killing them turn five, and I would go to Friday Night Magic and I got it down to where I was killing people turn four. And this was in standard, you know? And, they told me right then and there, kept winning the Friday Night Magics and stuff, you know, and a buddy of mine looked at me and said, this is a tier one deck. And I didn't know what tier one deck meant. And now I know what tier one deck means. It means it's going to be the top of the cream of the crop there. You know, it's going to be really hard to beat this guy. And so that deck, and I think a lot of this is going to fall back onto that deck, because we're going to move on to modern. I'll just go ahead and start this guy off. That's the same deck that got me into Modern. Once I'm sure Bob can relate, right? Once I figured out that it was a thing called Modern, which we didn't call it Modern. We called it Extended. Am I right?
Yep.
We called it Extended, so it wasn't even called Modern yet. And we're like, well, it's Extended. And they're like, well, it's basically anything from 8th edition on forward that doesn't rotate out. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we got that, you know? And it's like, well, that was what you went to when you didn't want to play Standard anymore at the time, you know? Anyway, but Modern, so that deck, the same deck, the mill deck, the Twin Sanity, the one I talk about all the time,
yep,
got me into Modern. Also, at the same time frame, Cawblade was a thing. And I'll just say that Cawblade, I kept that deck for a Modern deck, but what got me into the format, I guess, was just talking meta at the local game store, maybe. You know, yeah, it wasn't really a deck that got me into the format. And the same thing with Standard. It wasn't a deck that got me into the format. It was just basically the knowledge of knowing there was a format. You know, again, I'm sure Bob can relate.
Yeah, I mean, they were called different things when I got into it, but yeah.
Yeah.
What were they called? What were they called?
It was you know, 1.5, 2.
Yep. Yep.
And the tier was more like just how good they were in, I guess you could say, the formats. And, you know, there was so few sets in the pool back then. There really wasn't much that was restricted, was a big thing, or banned. So it was, you know, 1.5, 1, 2, extended. But it was more about, like, I remember them throwing more of the terms, like, if you're playing sealed or if you're
constructed,
playing draft, right?
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, those are words you would always hear.
Yeah.
You know, thrown around as it's a sealed tournament or it's a draft tournament.
Right.
And constructed, right? A sealed draft constructed is, yep, mostly what you heard. And then it was sealed draft constructed. And then you would get into the ones, 1.5, 2. Yeah.
You didn't even hear about the formats until you paid your money, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. For me, I guess you could say then it would be, for the Modern, would be more like the green stompy back in the day. And this is back more during the Urza's legacy once Ranker came out.
Nice. Yeah.
And you know, it was a little more fluid, where a lot of the cards as they come out would affect, it seemed like they affected the format a little more drastically than today, because there's just, you know, thousands and thousands of cards now that anything has an answer. Every card that comes out has an answer already.
It's interesting you bring up that set too, that Urza set, because, you know, I know we got a card called Urza Saga, and there was a set called Urza Saga. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back with the Urza sets, they came out on the packaging: starter, beginner, intermediate, advanced, expert. Do you remember, yep, those words written on the
book? Sure do.
Do you remember those?
Absolutely, and, yeah.
Now, here's a thought of, I don't know how old I was, 16. I don't remember how old I was when I saw these products, but let's say 18 or 20. You know, let's say 18. I was 18, okay? And here's the thought process going through my head. Oh, I'm going to grab the expert packs, because those are going to have the really hardcore cards that you got to read a mile long, and they got all these abilities. And, you know, I don't want to grab the beginner packs, man, you know? I don't know why I skipped the beginner packs, thinking I wouldn't get nothing in them. I don't know. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. Do you remember those?
They weren't well received, the beginners. Those are like the starter sets. I mean, there's a lot that are like really valuable now.
Sure. There was starter decks where they had two decks in the box. They told you this is deck A and deck B.
Mm-hmm. They had the beginner set, I guess you could say, was the oh, good Lord, I can't even remember the name of it. But I think it was actually called, like, the starter set.
I think it was called Starter. Magic. Yeah, it was called Starter. Yeah, with Star on it, I think, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they had...
I think Portal was, too. I think Portal was also considered, like, a beginner set, if I'm not mistaken.
You are right. Wrong. You are right. That was around the same time frame. And I wondered why. I wondered why they came out with Portal. It was, like, a set aimed toward beginners. Again, that was my thought process, you know? Slothy, I know you weren't there at that time frame, right?
But yeah, no, I wasn't.
Can you imagine the confusion going through a player's head, though, when they come out with a set called Portal for beginners? And it's like,
yeah,
wait, hold on, do I just skip this set? You know? Oh, what's going on here?
And not to put too fine a point on it, but we didn't have the benefit of having a YouTube channel or a podcast to, right, go reference and say, what is this all about? like, all these words mean. Right, you had magazines like Duelist. You could go look, and maybe it might have some references. But if people in your store didn't know, that was
kind of screwed.
We had an SOL.
We had internet, but the only thing I had on the internet was Homer Simpson's voice saying "Doe." You would spend like 20 minutes downloading that, and then you're so happy that you have this sound clip of Homer Simpson saying "Doe." You know, I mean, yeah, we had the internet, but it wasn't like it is now.
Well, yeah, because the pages took like 20 minutes to load.
Yeah, it was total dial-up. Totally happy that I got Windows 95 installed, you know. Modern. What got you into the modern format, Slothy?
So one of the main, well, Nikachu kind of, but...
Well, there you go. It was a guy on YouTube.
Yeah, but I really could not get behind, because I'm a massive Commander player. That's where I put all my money into Commander cards. I couldn't really justify spending another $1,000 or $600 even at the time into Modern. So I actually went and was looking, and I found a list that I tweaked a bit. Ended up costing me about $30, $40. It's an infect list, and it can actually win on turn two is the fastest. So kind of like the way that would work is turn one, Forest, Glistener Elf. Turn two, if they've got a creature out, play a Rancor, and then a scale up, and then as many mutagenic growths as you have, and then just trample over them just for a quick turn two win right there. Wow. I actually ended up playing that one on a little tournament and ended up winning that with that deck. But there are some very, very, very hard matchups that it has. I was just fortunate enough not to run into any of them. But any amount of creature removal and you're screwed with that one. But it is a very, very fun deck to play.
Okay. And Legacy. So that one's different for me. Legacy, when I found out what the format was, I went ahead and built a Legacy deck, and it was just Elf Ball. It had splash, tiny amount of red for lightning bolts. And then there was another card, I think it was called Fire Blast, where I sacrificed two mountains, do 4 damage. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my deck. It was Elf Ball, you know, that was my Legacy deck. So that's what I started with Legacy and used it for years and years, man. How about you, Bob?
I'm actually not a big Legacy kind of person. I've really begun to transition, and I know this might be not really the answer you're looking for, but I've begun to transition to constructed is for Commander for me.
Okay.
Like that's the focus on where I'm investing my money, what I'm looking at, and really kind of what I enjoy outside of a limited format.
Okay.
I don't like 3-turn games.
Sure. No, I understand. That's why I built a Commander deck, so I can go have fun with my friends or different play groups at this local game store and play casual, you know? So I get where you're coming from, you know?
Yeah. Sorry if that's not a sexy answer, but that's a truthful answer at least.
Right answer, because we actually are looking for genuine. So that's the right answer, man. And then we're going to go over to Pauper. Now, I don't play Pauper. Don't know if I ever will play Pauper, but it's on the back burner. How about you guys?
I've been playing Pauper for quite a while. I've got an Is It Spellslinger deck that I quite like that I've been tweaking for a while.
Okay.
Been playing that on Arena quite a bit. Where it's Pauper? Just,
nice.
Yeah, just drawing a whole bunch of cards and creating a whole bunch of like fairy tokens, and it's got Sprite Dragon.
Oh, Sprite Dragon. Wow.
Yes.
Recommend people to play test Pauper decks on Arena in the play mode?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. There'll definitely be a deck there that you'll like, and if you want to buy it in paper, high-end decks are like $90, so
woo.
There's not...
That's money. That's a lot of money for some Pauper.
Oh, yeah.
Bob,
I would say that I don't, it doesn't necessarily appeal to me. I don't want to limit myself that way. However, it is a format that I highly recommend to people on a budget, college guys that are just college people, I should say, that are getting into it. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody. You know, if you're looking to get into Magic on a budget in paper, you know, wanting to have the cards, wanting to have the physical asset, that I think Pauper is an excellent way to get into it. I mean, I also recommend Commander, but, you know, that's that's a very different conversation. But Pauper itself is, I think, excellent. I think it helps control that pay to win feel bad, because almost anybody can keep up in Pauper.
Sure. No, yeah. I get what you're saying. And Commander, it's good segue into Commander. That's going to take me a second to think about my answer. Slothy, what got you into Commander? What deck got you into Commander?
So the first deck that I ended up playing in Commander, there's actually a little bit of a story attached to it. The same buddy that I mentioned earlier that got me into Magic found the Commander format. This is back in 2013. And he ended up giving me the Derevi Precon for my birthday that year. And I really, like, just from that moment, I really got attached to Derevi as a card and as a deck. And I think that can be shown on my channel. I still play a now stacks heavy Derevi deck. And it's just been such a good deck to play. And I like seeing, like, the etched art. I've actually got the card right in front of me from Commander Legends. And yeah, it's not just one of my favorite commanders of all time, but one of my favorite cards of all time for nostalgic reasons.
I don't know if a deck got me into the Commander format. You know, I think it was a set of cards in the community as a whole. So, like, I think I heard about it in 2006, 2008 or something. I think it was 2006 when I heard about it. And it was called Elder Dragon Highlander. And it was just, you know, 100 cards. You had a general, is what they called it at the time. And then you had your general zone. And the same rule every time it leaves, two go on it. Now, I saw some people use cards like Eternal Witness, Gaia's Blessing, stuff like this, you know. And it made me think that a lot of these cards are going to be in these people's decks. And one guy told me, he looked down on the table, and he said, remember that one hippo? And I'm like, which one? He said, Feldegriff. And I'm like, no. I looked it up, right? And I'm like, yeah, I remember that guy. He goes, I'm going to build that for an EDH deck. Now, he never did, right? He never did. So when somebody looked at me and asked me, what deck are you going to build for your first commander deck? I said, that Feldegriff Hippo Hug is going to be my first one. And because I thought it was a cool idea at the time. And it wasn't a Hippo Hug back in the day, but the idea was just getting one for it, you know, if that makes sense. Yeah. It isn't what it is now. Back then, it was a different shell altogether.
Yeah. But,
I think the community as a whole, the commander community, is what got me into the format, not a deck. But I will say the Feldegriff Hippo Hug is my first commander deck. What got you into the format, Bob?
I'm not really sure if this is cross-promotion or not, but during the last year and a half, I don't know exactly when it started, I started watching the Command Zone.
Okay.
And I just really loved the apparent slower pace of play. And that really, you know, sung to me, felt like old school Magic from when I first started playing. And that's, you know, I've always been seeking that, you know, something more social, sit down, take your time. I don't know that it would necessarily be casual because they do some pretty complex stuff, but it feels like you get to play cards. Like, I hate having a full grip of cards and you get to play three of them before the game's over. So again, with the whole speed thing, I just loved watching it and then, you know, playing for an hour or so. Mm-hmm. And then I opened up a collector pack of Ikoria and I got a foil Ghidorah. And I said, I'm going to make that my commander. And I just started buying more and more of it. And so it's sort of a work in progress, but I really like, you know, for any deck, I like the precons that they're coming up with now, and I really like playing against other precons with the precons.
Now, Bob, I've said this on the podcast before. I'm not sure if you were on here when I said it, so I just want to go ahead and repeat it for your ears. I went to a local game store and played Commander for the first time a few months ago, and I told the listeners too that I have not felt like this since back in 1993. So back in 1993, we sat down and we sat at a big long table. There was five or six of us. It was every man for himself, you know. Now fast forward to people telling me you can go make, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars playing this game, you know.
Yeah,
you know I'm saying. So now coming from that era, going to this era, and then just doing nothing but 1v1 at a tournament setting, and then I'm not even thinking about the casual format. People play kitchen table Magic. It's just like I'm gonna have to stay away. You guys will not like me, you know? So I would just stay away, right? And there was the casual format. I kept hearing about it. I would think kitchen table magic, right? But when I went to the local game store a couple months ago to play Commander for the first time with general public, and I finally had my first Commander deck, which is the Feldegriff Hippo Hug, you know, that 1993 feeling came back to me. It really did. It's like, sure, we got some insane decks going on here, but that was like half the fun. I'm going to do this stupid trick right now, and I'm talking stupid because these are some really hoss decks, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody got an answer? And it's like, you guys better pray you got an answer. This took me back to
yeah.
Hold on a second. I think Slothy. There we go. It took me back to 1993, man. So bad. It's so bad, man. I wanted to go back and listen to Marilyn Manson and what else was big in 93? You know, I don't know. But
little Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. STP. Yeah, there you go. Man. Yeah, it took me back, bud. It really did. It makes me want to play more and more Commander, you know?
It actually makes me want to play more Magic, to be honest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, with more multiple formats, or?
You know, like I said, I'm exploring with the whole pre-release kit. It's I can't explain why or how it feels awesome. You know, they're new cards, so it's sure. It's not like anybody has this, like... I don't know, corporate knowledge of the cards itself, you know, or how these drafts, I guess you could almost call them draft, but it's a limit, it's sealed limited. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like playing the old starter decks because they don't really have starter decks anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very much like that. And with the spell table, being able to do it remotely with friends and it's been amazing. If that's not a format, I'd like to make it one.
I go get the master set, like Modern Masters. There was the VIP double masters that came out recently. Now, I couldn't afford those, but the ones that came out before that, like Modern Masters or whatever,
yeah.
I'll go get those, and we'll have like a sealed pull of that. You know, I understand. Is that almost the same thing you're saying? Like, we'll do like, you know, everybody gets 5 packs, open them up, build your deck, and then every man for himself?
Kind of a yeah. Thing? We're actually coming up with different formats, and I don't have a good grip on it, and I'm not prepared really to talk about it. Sure. But there's movement in the community where people are becoming more creative with creating, I guess you will, if you will, like formats. Mm-hmm. It's awesome to see in some of the Discord channels that I'm on that they come up with these really creative type of formats.
Absolutely.
Like box, like they're going to do a draft box. Each person buys a draft box and you take the first 6 packs and then week over week, we're just going to add additional packs out of that boxing league, I think is what they're
yes.
Calling it.
Yes.
That sounds so cool.
So again, I'm excited. I love the fact that the community has sort of drifted more towards at least the ones that I'm with, you know, towards the casual format that's inclusive and wanting people to play rather than the kill you on turn 3 hatred sort of decks. I like that. I love that the community sort of embracing that that's okay.
Yeah, it's understandable. You know, I understand both sides of the fence. You know, like if you go out and you have these cards and you have this deck that wins turn 2 or turn 3, you know, and you're just so happy that you have this, it's like, you have it sitting over the corner. It's been sitting there 5 or 6 years. You're not playing with it. It costs you a lot of money to build. Nobody wants to play against it, right? But then some unsuspecting guy comes along and goes, I'll play Magic. And you're like, yeah, bust it out. You know, and you bust it out. And you play with it. And he's like, yeah, man, that was pretty fast. Let me try again. And then after a while, he's like, yeah, just don't play with that deck. And it's like, of course, that's what everybody says. You know, I get that side of it because I'm in that side of it. You know, I totally get that side of it. And then I also get the casual side of things too, though. Because of the experiences I've personally had, like going to my brother's house that they don't really know how to play Magic, you know, and coming from my side of, you know, just always being on the competitive side of things where they're like, hey, you know, every time you come over here, it seems like you're bending the rules to where you win all the time, you know, and it's like, no, I'm not bending the rules. You know, it's really hard to explain to somebody like the whole companion thing when it's not written on the card that you got to.
Sure.
Three to put in your hand, you know. There's other things too, like I mean, sure, the Thunder Conductor, it was a slip, but you know, hey, you know, we don't have to be sticklers about it, right? You know, at the kitchen table, you know.
Yeah, it happens.
So there's hidden meanings to why I do what I do or where I come from, you know, of trying to help people out and understand that, sure, there's people who beat me and there's people who beat them. And believe it or not, there's people who beat them. You know, I don't go over to their house to win all the time. I don't bend the rules so I win. Mm-hmm. If anything, me and my close friend will help you beat us because we want you to give us a run for our money. You know, we want you to have that chance of winning. If you're going to kill me right now, I'll tell you how you can do it. You know, I mean, are you guys like this with your play group?
It kind of depends for me. Like sometimes if it is a lot more casual, because I do play quite a bit of CEDH as well. Mm-hmm. But if it's just more like the newer players are more casual, be like, hey, if you trigger this way, it'll have a better effect for you and help you beat me sooner, or
right,
like just stuff like that. Like I don't let I don't make it easy for them to win. I just kind of give them a bit of a helping hand sometimes, especially if they're new.
I guess to simplify this, what I'm saying is, if money's on the line, we're going to be competitive. We're going to try.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to exactly. try to go for the throat, right? But if we're sitting down with our family and friends, and we're just looking to have fun and drink a couple of beers or whatnot, you know, or whatever the case may be, we're just got done with barbecue. Let's play Magic. You know, we're not here to win turn three. If we are, why do we sit down and play to begin with?
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. If there's money on the line, I'm absolutely pulling out my turn one Godo deck. But
that's what comes on my mind when I hear this subject. You know, it's like I understand both sides.
Yeah.
That's why I have multiple decks. I have I have the ones where it's, hey, are we really going to go play Ante right now? I haven't played Ante since '95. Let's go ahead. let's do this. You know, there's my Ante deck. Where's that? Oh, unfortunately, it's top loaded out. You know, but whatever. Let's go. You know, I mean. Yeah, I'm trying to have fun with it, you know, because I see both sides of it. I'm in both sides of it.
Yeah.
Almost getting tugged both ways on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're playing on a more casual side, it lets you kind of break out the more fun and flavorful decks. Like I've got a Lavisa Cold Eyes Barbarian Tribal deck mm-hmm. or Warrior Tribal deck. And
Commander, right?
Yeah. But that deck... I don't know really how it is because I don't really play a lot of the other formats too much.
Okay.
But Commander has a power scale. And it's kind of hard to determine because it's not like an official thing. So you just kind of have to kind of weigh it as it is and compare it to other decks. But
chances are your deck's a five, right?
Yeah. Like a good way to say it is that pre-cons are six.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
My deck probably a three, yeah.
I've got decks that are threes, fours, all the way up to nine and ten.
I do have one more for the beginner's corner, which is Pioneer. I've never played Pioneer. I don't think I ever will play Pioneer. Slothy, what got you into Pioneer? What deck?
So I also haven't played too much Pioneer, but the deck that I do play, it's Demir Inverter. It's kind of fallen out of favor recently because I haven't played in over a year.
Red, black, white?
Blue, black.
Oh, Demir?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said...
Demir Inverter. Okay. The goal, it is a combo deck. So you want to kind of get Inverter of Truth out. So when it enters the battlefield, place all cards from your library face down and shuffle all cards from your graveyard into your library. And then you want to play something like a Thassa's Oracle or a Jace Wilder Mysteries. Just to make it very, very effective, very, very efficient, very quick as well.
Sure. I like Demir control decks. That's probably just me.
Yeah.
And Bob, what got you into Pioneer? If you ever got into Pioneer, what deck?
I have not gotten into Pioneer. I'm recent returnee. So Pioneer is actually kind of a newer format to me.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, with when it comes to Constructed, it's basically Commander's where my wheelhouse is now in the casual side. So my CEDH is casual EDH.
You know why Pioneer is a thing, right?
I'm not familiar with it. No.
Oh, okay. So basically in certain countries, they don't have the supply of Magic cards that we have. in the United States. I'm assuming you're in the United States, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Slothy, my co-host right now, today, Peddler's not on the show. Slothy's from Canada, so he's from a different country, right? That's a different country, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I want to make sure I'm not putting my foot in my... Okay. So other countries, I can't name them off the top of my head, don't have access to cars except for when it came to Origins, where they did that storyline with the Planeswalkers or whatever. What was it? Not 10th edition. Come on, help me out here.
Planeswalkers was Lorwyn.
Not Planeswalkers. The one where the gate crash and all that. It was a core set. They called it Origins.
Magic Origins, yeah.
It was a core set before that, M15 or M14 or something?
That would have been M15, I believe.
M15, so it was a core set. I know this much. It was a core set. And then after printing, because you can go get those free, F-R-E-E, free decks from your local game stores. Remember those where you just give them to the beginner players, the free ones? Mm-hmm.
And I think they should come back with those. I think they're great.
If you find the one that says M15 on it, it's the same cards from that Origin set.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, okay? So they changed that core set name to Origins, all right? And I believe around that time, where am I getting at with this here? Popper. So from that set on forward, those countries have access to the amount we have access to.
I think you mean Pioneer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Pioneer. What would I say? Popper?
Popper.
Yeah.
Ouch. So Pioneer, that's what it's really based off of. So let's just give Australia as an example. They now have access to Origins and a beyond... you know, to now, and they don't have access to the ones before that.
Hmm.
So they might have access to one or two of the, or maybe even three of these sets that we have, but they don't have anything like we have, man. You know, so during Origins, when they started going, okay, now you can have this surplus. Now you can have this surplus. Now you can have this surplus. So somebody was like, man, you know what we ought to do? We ought to make a format now that we have these cards. It's like, yeah, okay, you guys got this format. That's cool. It's a thing. It's still going strong. So I get the appeal of it, man. You know, I'm for it. I just don't play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of brings something to mind. Sorry to jump in here, but I had to look up recently one of the shows I was doing, and I found like 27 formats for Magic, and I believe there's even more, because I remember, well, there's some like Canadian Highlander or something. Yeah. And it was like,
yeah, yeah, Canadian Highlander. Yep.
And I was like, holy Moses.
Yeah.
There are a lot of formats nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
The 93, 94 wasn't on there either.
Yep. Which, 93 formats a thing where you can only have 93 cards. Yep.
No. Well, cards from 1993 and 1994.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a 93 format and a 93-94 format.
Oh, okay. See, there you go. Yeah, I can't keep up.
There was one too that was called 4X back in the day, where people use share piles, you know. It was crazy. And it was like what I would like to say the precursor to the cube is what I'd like to say. But yeah, man, there's a lot of formats out there. Tiny Masters, Captain is a format. There's another one out there called Quiet, I think, is a format.
I've heard the name, yeah.
Q-U-I-E-T. Oh, it's like he said earlier, Bob said earlier, you go to these Discord servers and you get into these Discord servers and you get to different ones, man. And then all of a sudden you'll come across somebody that's talking about a format and you click on it and you're like, oh, wow, now this is cool, you know? And it's like, is this going to be a thing? Because they make them sound like this is the thing. But it's like nobody else is talking about this, though, except for these people right here, you know? So while you're reading it, you're like, man, this is the hip new thing. Why haven't I heard about it until now? And then when you get done reading it, you realize those guys were just blowing that up, man. This ain't the hip new thing. They want it to be the hip new thing, you know?
And yeah. Like that Rush format, I heard something about that recently. And
what's it called, Rush?
I think that's what they called it.
Yeah. I haven't heard about that one yet.
So
I've heard of it. I just don't. Played.
No, the one I'm talking about right now is where they do your deck can have four copies of, okay, but it can only have one mythic rare, two rares,
yes,
six uncommons. So you see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
And, so I mean, there are ones that are getting catchy. I will say they are getting catchy, and I can't wait to start reporting on some of them, because I don't think there's enough formats. I really don't, you know.
Wow.
How many one-player formats do we have?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
There's three that I can think of. So if I go home and I don't have anybody to play with, right? Nobody to play with, not even my cat. And I don't have access to the internet. I don't have a computer, but I got a deck of Magic the Gathering cards. What can I do? There's a thing called Horde. There's a product called Horde. You can play against it. So it's a deck that just puts out zombies, you know? There's a program out there called IO. I think it's called IO. I'll look it up for the listeners next week. I'll figure out the name of that program. But there's a program where you can download it on your smartphone, and you don't have to have internet for it once you use this app, where you play against the computer. The computer tells you what it's doing. So you say, okay, turn one, you do your on your cards in real life on the floor, the table, whatever. You know, you do your turn, and then you press the button, and then the computer goes, okay, it put down a 2-2 with menace. You're like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And then you're like, my turn. Then you take your turn, and then you just got to keep the board state in front of you. You know, I'm talking about one-player formats.
Yeah.
Never heard
of it. Solitaire. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's enough formats out there. That's my opinion. You know,
Plane Chase, Ixalan, Friday Night Magic.
Absolutely.
Unsanctioned. Yeah. Good Lord.
Conspiracy, Arch Enemy. Come on, brother. I'm done playing Magic. But wait, we didn't play Plane Chase yet.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I bought one of those Plane Chase collector kits, and I'm looking forward to cracking it when things change a little bit around here.
Here's what I did, man. Here's what I did. And I'm not condoning this. I am not condoning this. Once I figured out what Plane Chase was, I downloaded an app that's got all the cards on it. That when I roll the Plane Chase dice or whatever, I can just press the button and it gives me a random card. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I took a 6-sided die and I put a green forest sticker on the one, and I put a time spiral symbol from, you know, one of those old bundles you got from back in the day, the fat packs.
Mm-hmm.
I took the time spiral symbol for the other one, the effect. So there's an effect and then the Plane Chase, and then the rest of them are blank. So I just took black dots from that bundle and I put on the other thing. So you got one chance of getting the Plane Chase symbol, and then on the opposite end of it, you got the, because you figure out what it is. On the one is a symbol, and on the six is a symbol, and everything else is blank, right? The Plane Chase die.
I have yet to play it, so I'm.
Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is, man. I'm telling you, I didn't have to go out. I think it was $100 is what my local game store wanted. Okay, for this Plane Chase thing. And I'm like, no. I went home, downloaded the app, which was free, and then I took a 6-sided die and I put stickers on it, and it's free. And yeah, I'm playing Plane Chase for free, man. I'm having a blast playing Plane Chase. Sloth, you ever played it?
Not that I can recall. No, I think I was taking a bit of a hiatus when that was.
Oh, we need to get off this podcast then, guys, and have you guys go play Plane Chase and the listeners go play Plane Chase. It's amazing, man. If you don't know yet, you play your regular game of Magic. Hopefully you got a bunch of people, because it's better than just two players, trust me. When it's your turn, you can roll that die for free if you want, because believe me, when you get in the middle of the game, you ain't going to want to roll that die, trust me. You can roll the die for free, and anytime you want during your turn, you could pay 2 mana for an additional roll. And then just like Commander, it's a cumulative. So you want a third roll, it's 4 more mana. You want a fourth roll, it's 6 more mana. So, of course, you ain't going to be able to afford it, right, as it goes on. But then you realize, I got 6 open mana. In response to him and in his turn, I'll go ahead and chance that die, you know, or something. Now, here's two things that can happen, because there's a whole bunch of blanks on the die, okay? One, you Plane Chase, which means if you get that symbol, which you're probably not going to get that symbol, trust me, it's usually a blank, then you Plane Chase, you just flip the top card, and that's what plane we're on, and now the rules are what's on that card. It could be something silly like, all creatures are black, they all have menace, and they all get +1/+1. Or it could be destroy all creatures, you know, as soon as you hit the plane, or something weird like a blue effect where you warp world, you know, something weird. Every time you Plane Chase, you go to a different plane, and there's always something weird, and it's going to happen. Okay. Then the other thing on the opposite side, I'm sorry, the symbol on the opposite side of the die is the effect. And on the bottom of every plane, if somebody rolls the effect, which is this the other weird symbol on the die, that's it, then the effect goes off, which can be, again, like Wrath of God, or the, you can take an extra turn, or, I mean, it's just all silly stuff, man. If I pulled the cards up right now, I could read some of them off. Some of them are hysterical. Some of them are just Billy B.A., man. I don't know how to explain it. I'll tell you, if you haven't played Plane Chase yet, it's like putting a little spice in your love life.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I recommend it, man. The first time I experienced it, in all honesty, was on a video game. It was Xbox 360, Planeswalkers. I forget the name of it, man, but they call it Duels Arena or something like that.
Duels of the Planeswalkers?
There you go. Duels of the Planeswalkers. And 2014 edition, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And there was a segment where if you beat so many of them, you could play Plane Chase. And I'm like, well, what's this? I guess I'll try it out. And oh, my goodness. I love it. It made me want to go build my own, which I did for free. Yep. I like my Plane Chase thing. It's just a little six-sided die with stickers on it. I'm telling you, Bob, once you open it up and realize what it is, it's like, oh, my goodness, he's right. But I think I figured out what it was years after that product came out, and I never really got to look at that product at a local game store until, again, years after it came out, you know, and then when I realized what it was after experiencing it on the video game, it made me want to go home and see if I can download an app, which I could, and just make my own out of a six-sided dice. It's really simple. It's really simple. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Is there anything else you guys want to tell the listeners before we let them go?
I would encourage people, you know, get out there and you know, try the different formats. Sample what's out there. There's got to be a flavor of Magic for just about anybody wanting to play card games.
Oh, and by the way, Bob, before we do let the listeners go, now we're letting the viewers go, too. We've updated to where we put this podcast out, and then after a while, we put it up on a YouTube video. So now we'll have a link to your stuff in the description below, which is a nice
fantastic
on. And let us know what you guys think. Let us know in the comments below. Until next time, keep spell slinging.